First Peter chapter 2, please, I'll begin reading at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for loving us the way you do. We thank you, Father, for being kind and gracious and merciful. We thank you, Father, for caring about us and that we can cast our cares upon you. Thank you, Lord, that you know us intimately. And Father, you give us an opportunity to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your word and through our walk with you as your children. I pray today that, my Father, you might magnify yourself and glorify your Son. I pray you'd edify your people. I pray you'd save the lost. I pray, my Father, that you might open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of every person to receive your word. I pray you'd do a work in us so that you can do a work through us and with us. I pray, my Father, that you might help us today. I pray you'd convict us, comfort us, challenge us, and change us. And we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter speaks here of a living stone, a chief cornerstone, the stone that is the head of the corner, which is also referred to as a stumbling stone. And all of these references are to the Lord Jesus Christ. As the living stone, he provides eternal life to those who believe, and they themselves then, according to verse 5, become lively stones, which make up a spiritual house or the church of God. As the chief cornerstone, he provides the direction of the spiritual house. I quote from newstudioarchitecture.com. It says, in relation to architecture, a cornerstone is traditionally the first stone laid for a structure, with all other stones laid in reference. A cornerstone marks the geographical location, here it comes, by orienting a building in a specific direction. I like that. Cornerstones have been around for millennia in some shape or form. Of course, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is our chief cornerstone. He is the one who the church is built around, and he's the one that sets the direction for the church. As the head of the corner, he is the foundation of the church or the spiritual house. According to Wikipedia.com, a cornerstone will sometimes be referred to as a foundation stone and is symbolic of Christ. Of course, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, as the stone of stumbling, he becomes an offense to those who refuse to believe. Now, the reference here is clearly to the prophecy of Isaiah 8:14, speaking of the Messiah, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so Jesus has proven, though he is that living stone and that cornerstone and that head of the corner, yet to so many he is the stumbling stone, because their hearts are hard and they will not trust him as their Savior. They will not believe him to be who he said he is and to do what he said he did. Now I want you to look with me in verse 7. Look what it says. Unto you, therefore, now he's speaking to believers. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is what?
Precious.
But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He's precious to us. Why? Because we believe. But to those who do not believe, he's a stumbling block. He gets in their way. He's a stumbling block to what they want to do and how they want to live and what they want to say is truth. But to us, he's precious. In this passage, we, as believers, are called many things. In verse 2, we're called newborn babes. Jesus said in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we are called newborn babes. We have been born into God's family by grace through faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. In verse 5, we're called lively stones and a spiritual house. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? And so we are lively stones because we have trusted the living stone, and he made us alive in himself. And we are a spiritual house, and we are a tabernacle for the Holy Spirit. But I want you to look with me in verse 9. The Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word generation in the theme scripture here is derived from the root word gene. A gene is the basic unit of hereditary in a living organism. Genes hold the information that build and maintain an organism's cells and pass genetic traits from parent to offspring. They determine the physical, mental, and other characteristics an individual inherits from his parents. When God describes you as a chosen generation, it means you belong to a new class of being. You have a spiritual genetic makeup that you never had before. You see, when you were born to your parents, you got a physical human genetic structure, and that's why you are the way you are. That's why you look the way you look. I'm sorry, it's just the truth. But when you trusted Christ your Savior, you became a child of God. Now you've been made alive spiritual. You've been born of God. And you have, if you will, a spiritual DNA, genetic structure. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Before you were saved, you were one creature. You were a human being. You had one nature, a human nature. But when you trusted Christ your Savior, you became a child of God and you became a partaker of the divine nature, a new creature on planet Earth. I've said that many times. There are humans and then there are born again humans. I was a human, but then I got born again and became a new creature. What do you mean a new creature? I have a new nature. I have the old nature as a sinner, but I have become partaker of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Verse 9 calls us a royal priesthood. speaking to all believers because we make up a spiritual house. And as royal priesthood, it says in verse 5, we are a holy priesthood. In verse 9, it says we're a holy nation. Born-again Christians are a nation within nations. I remember my wife, she had some open-heart surgery years ago and was in Pittsburgh, and we had to go to Pittsburgh. It just happened to be during one of the playoffs for the Super Bowl, playoff for the Super Bowl. And everybody, you know, was like Steeler Nation. They call it Steeler Nation. You know what? We're a Christian nation. We're born-again Christian nation. We are a nation within a nation. And in every country around the world, in every nation around the world, they are a nation within a nation. A holy nation. We're called peculiar people in verse 9. Now, that doesn't really mean what a lot of you think it might mean. You're peculiar enough. But the word peculiar here has the meaning of an acquisition or a purchase. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you understand? We are a peculiar people because we are a purchased people. We are a people who are an acquisition of God. And how did God acquire us? He paid a great price for us. He paid the price of the blood of the only begotten Son of God and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, it says we are the people of God. Verse 10 of chapter 2. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is referring to the prophecies of Hosea 1:10 and 2:23, which speak about God calling a people for himself out of the Gentile nations. I'm glad that God turned to the Gentiles with the gospel, aren't you? Or would all be lost and without hope for all eternity? But God prophesied way back in the Old Testament that he was going to reach out to the Gentile peoples and call out from the Gentiles a people unto himself. That's us, the born-again ones. And so those who have been born again by faith in Christ, who is the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, are called newborn babes, lively stones, a spiritual house, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and the people of God. What a privilege. What a blessing. What an honor. And it's all by God's amazing grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, that's great. What's it all for? I mean, yes, we are all these things, but to what end, to what practical purpose does he call us these things here on planet Earth? Is it just a bunch of high-sounding descriptions of us? No, they are descriptions of who we are and what we are in Christ. But why tell us? What's it all about? And that is provided for us in verse 9, beginning with the word that. Look at verse 9. First, he tells us again who we are. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Here it comes. That, or for the purpose of. You are all these things for the purpose of that ye should show forth what? The praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we're here, folks. We're here to show forth the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our lives are supposed to do. And I want to share with you three truths about this statement. Number one, we've been called out of the darkness. We live in a sin-cursed world. And the Bible sees it as darkness. The Bible describes this world as a world of darkness spiritually, morally, and mentally. We are born in the dark. We grow up in the dark. And if we do not get saved, we die in the dark. And we'll spend eternity in the darkness of hell forever. The Bible says about Christ coming into the world, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Lord Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. My dear friend, when you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you became alive in Christ, and now you have a light in the darkness of this world. You don't have to walk in darkness. We walked in darkness long enough. Now we can walk in the light. Jesus said in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you understand? The Bible talks about spiritual wickedness and darkness, and we're born in darkness, we live in darkness, we grow in darkness, and if we don't get saved, we die in darkness. And Satan wants to keep it that way. He wants to keep you in the dark. The Bible says he blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest what should shine unto them? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And so he blinds people with all kinds of things and all kinds of people. The world is filled with distractions to keep lost people from ever seeing the light of Christ. But I was called out of the darkness. And you were called out of the darkness. The ministry which God gave to the Apostle Paul, according to Acts 26:18, was to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So God said, Paul, your ministry, and therefore our ministry, is to turn people from the darkness of this world, the darkness of Satan who's trying to keep them in the dark, and turn them to the gospel of light, from Satan to God. The day I got saved, God called me out of the darkness of the world and into the marvelous light of Christ. He called me out of the darkness, the moral darkness. And he called me out of my intellectual darkness. And he called me out of my emotional darkness. And he called me out of my spiritual darkness into a liberating, freeing, glorious gospel light. I know the world uses that phrase as a derogatory statement. Oh, they saw the light. Yes, sir, I sure did. I mean, one day I saw a light that was so bright, I just had to go. It's as if I was in a dark room. And I was content to stumble around in the darkness because it's all that I knew. You understand, before you were saved, you didn't know any different. You didn't know any better. You were just in the dark. It's all you ever had was the dark. And so you were kind of content to be in the dark and stumble along in life. And listen, that's all that lost people can do. All they can do is stumble through this life because it's darkness here. Oh, I know they can be successful here and they can be successful there, and they can get, but they're stumbling and bumbling all the way through life, missing the gospel light. And the Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then one day, a door opened, and light shone into the darkness of my world. And a voice seemed to say to me, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And God took me by the hand and walked me right through that door into a room of light, his marvelous light. I want to say unto you, listen, I didn't know y'all existed. I didn't know born again people. I didn't know what born again people were. I didn't know they existed. I didn't know they had churches, and I didn't know they had music, and it was like a whole world, a nation within a nation. I got saved, and when I walked through that door into the glorious gospel of light, it was like a whole new world, a whole new life. My friend, I've not looked back, not with any joy. The only joy I look back with is I ain't there no more. Amen? I'm telling you, when I get together with the Lord and start praying, I get goosebumps and I get so excited because I'm not where I used to be in the darkness, and I'm not the person I used to. It scares me to think where I would be and what I would be like if I hadn't met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I was called out of darkness. That's the only place He can call us from. He calls us out of the darkness and into the light. John chapter 10 verse 9 says, "I am the door." That's that door I went through. "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5, "I became a child of light." Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. I don't want to just run on this hobby horse again, but I'm going to tell you what. We're children of light, and that's why it's so bright in here. Amen. As long as I'm here, we're not painting the ceiling black. Amen. As long as I'm here, we're not getting mood lighting. Amen. As long as I'm here, the lights are going to be bright. Why? Because we're children of the light. We're children of the day. Listen, I spent enough of my time in the darkness. I went to places that were dark, and I listened to music that was dark, and I watched things that was dark, and when I got saved, I walked into the light. Amen. I don't want that darkness no more. Amen. Because I'm a child of God and therefore a child of light, I was called out of darkness. And now I am number two. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're called out of darkness. But point number two is this: we're called to be a light in the darkness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world." Let that sink in for a second. Ye are the light of the world. He said, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When a person trusts Christ alone as their Savior, they are lit up with the light of life. His life. New life. Abundant life. Eternal life, everlasting life. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, He was the light of the world. But now that He went back to heaven, we are here, and He said, "Now ye are the light of the world." That's what He said. Philippians 2:15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." There we are, a nation within a nation. Listen now, "among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We shine like lights in the world. Now we know what that's all about. Christmas time was just not too long ago. And there were what? Everywhere. Lights. And they were, you know, my wife and I, she likes, "Let's go look at lights." I'm like, "Really? Yeah, let's go look at lights." All right. And we go look at lights. Now, I always have more fun, you know, when I'm looking at lights than I thought I was going to have looking at lights, especially when she's there. Just more time to spend with her, amen? Oh. But we like to go look at the lights, and they shine in the darkness, don't they?
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do. Only we shine, we're supposed to shine all year. We're supposed to shine as lights in the darkness. We are called upon by God to walk a different walk. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. We should have a different walk. We should have a different lifestyle. We should have different likes and different dislikes than we did when we were in the darkness. This part of the new life in Christ and being part of the new creature of 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a new walk. Listen, my dear friend, if you trust that Christ your Savior and you're walking the same old walk, I'd check it out. I'm just saying. You're a new creature. Old things should be passing away. Behold, all things should be coming new. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying you're sinless. I'm not saying you got it all together, but you ought to be going in the right direction. Amen?
Amen.
Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. You're there. Look what it says. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Why? That it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Candles are lit on purpose, and they're lit with a purpose. Candles don't get lit by themselves. Amen? Someone has to have a purpose to light the candle, and they light it on purpose. Listen, you didn't light yourself up. Jesus Christ lit you up and gave you the light of life when you trusted Him as your Savior. You became a lively stone because of Him. You became the light of the world because of Him. You were to let His light shine through you. And He said, you don't light a candle and then hide it under a bushel. What good is that? You might as well not light it. I'm afraid many Christians have had their light under a bushel. Maybe you today might be saved and you have your light under the bushel of sin, or you have your light under the bushel of complacency, or you have your light under the bushel of worldliness, or you have your light under the bushel of fear. What if people find out I'm a Christian? What if they know I go to church? What if they find out? Well, then maybe they'll want to be saved too. That's why we let our light shine. So it'll affect other people. So they can see. What's the devil doing? He's the prince of darkness. He's trying to keep them in darkness. We have the light of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to let our light shine so maybe it can get to someone and they can see. Verse 16, it says here, let your light so shine. The only light we have is the light which Christ has given us by His indwelling Spirit and provided for us in His Word. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And speaking of the word of God, Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Here it comes, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Here, my dear friend, we are children of light, and this is a light that shineth in a dark place. And God said, let your light so shine. Well, here's what we need to be doing. We're supposed to be sharing the word, sharing the gospel. Living the gospel, living the new life. Why? So that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. It's not fair. It's selfish, dear Christian, for you to have your candle lit in a dark room and put up a block around it so you're the only one that has the light. Oh, you feel comfortable and you feel safe because you have light. He said, no, you open it up and let everybody have light.
Amen.
It's called witnessing.
Yeah.
There's somebody going somewhere. I wonder if they're saved. We have to let our light shine. Oh, it wants to shine. It's like knocking at the door. Let me out. And he said, let your light shine. That means you just open it up and say, go get them. And let the light shine. Just be a born-again Christian. Look like one, sound like one, act like one, talk like one, live like one. Don't hide your light under a bushel. If you're born again, you have been called out of the darkness. You are called to be a light in the darkness. And one of these days, point number three is coming, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. One of these days, we're going to be called to a world without darkness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. We were called to a world without darkness. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. It doesn't say God has light. It says God is light. He is a being of light. It is his essence. It is his makeup. He is light itself. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. That's me. He's the Father of lights. And what am I? I'm the light of the world. He's the Father of me. And if you're born again, he's the Father of you, and you're a light. Why? Because you're born of him and he's a light. The Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't even have a shadow. You know why God doesn't have a shadow? Because he's everywhere. The only reason you have a shadow is because you're at one place at one time. So there's always light reflecting from somewhere you are. Right now, there's my shadow on the floor. Why? Because there's light up here. See? But God is everywhere. And God is light. And so there is no darkness in him. He doesn't even have a shadow. One of these days, the Lord's coming. And he's calling us home to a world where there is no darkness. Friends, all we've ever known is darkness. Before we were saved, we were all darkness. We got saved, we became children of light, but we're in the darkness. We're not of the darkness, we're in the darkness, shining as light. But one of these glorious days, we're going to go home to a place where there is no darkness. We're going to a place where there are no shadows. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when he does, we'll enter into the presence of light, a light like we've never known, a light like we've never seen, a light like we could never imagine. But wait a minute. Before we enter into such glorious light, before we can live there with him and his presence, there must be a change. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, here it is, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Listen, my friends, there's coming a day when Jesus is coming into the clouds, and if I'm dead before then, I'm coming up out of the grave. If I'm alive when he comes, he's going to change me, and in a twinkling of an eye, this corruptible will become incorruptible. This mortal will become immortal. And I'll be changed so that I can live forever in a place where there is no darkness. The glorious light of God. In that glorious kingdom of light, darkness will disappear forever. All darkness, physical darkness, moral darkness, spiritual darkness, all gone. Revelation 21:3, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night there. See, there's not even night there. Why? Why is there no night? Because that's darkness. So God said, no night here. Listen, we don't have to sleep in heaven. Isn't that awesome? Now, don't get me wrong. I like to go to sleep. But think how much we could do if we didn't have to sleep. It says here, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. Dear born again one, you are a child of light, shining in this world of darkness as you travel to your eternal home of light and life. You have been called out of the darkness. You've been called to shine as a light in the darkness. And one of these days you'll be being called to a world where there is no darkness. You know what? Let's take as many with us as we can.
Amen.
By living a life of light and sharing the light of life and holding forth the word of life. We've only got so much time. Let's use it wisely. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and it's just a few minutes and we'll be going home for lunch. But let me ask you a few questions as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. These are for you to answer to yourself. I want to ask you, you're saved, you're born again. If you're saved, you know you're saved. And if you're here this morning and you don't know that you're saved, I'd make sure before you leave this place. If you are saved, are you letting your light shine? Or do you have it under a bushel? Maybe you're afraid to be seen for the Lord. Are you walking more as a child of light or more like the old child of darkness? Can people see Jesus shining in your life? Do they hear him on your lips? Are you daily in his word as a lamp under your feet? Yes, we have a glorious future awaiting, but we also have a glorious opportunity to shine in the darkness of this world for his glory. Remember why we are here, that we might show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Perhaps you're here this morning, or you're watching and listening, and you've never been saved. Then you're still living in the dark. Please don't die in the dark. Because if you die in the dark, you'll spend eternity in the dark. The Lord Jesus came to call you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God's not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the word repentance simply means a change of mind. You need to change your mind and agree with God. You need to change your mind about yourself, because God says you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to change your mind about how a person gets saved. For the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. You need to change your mind about who can save you. The Bible says about Jesus, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then you need to change your mind about the time. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. My friend, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, or you're watching and listening, do you hear that still small voice in your heart right now telling you you need to be saved? Telling you you need to nail it down and get it settled once and for all? You say, preacher, I do. And I know I need to be saved. And I'm ready and willing to be saved right here, right now, right in my seat. I want to help you. Slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I'm over here. I'm back here. I don't want to leave this place until I know for sure that my sins are forgiven and I have eternal life. I don't want to live in the darkness. I don't want to die in the darkness. I want to live in the light and I want to go to the light. Anybody like that here today? Just say, preacher, I'll pray. Well, just pray, you and I. You can right there in your seat. If you're watching or listening, please don't put it off, because tomorrow could be too late. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that we can know these things. And the Bible says, seeing that you know these things, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holiness and godly conversation? Help us. Just let our light shine. Father, help us. And I pray you'd guide and direct anyone here who needs to be saved, that they'd have the courage and concern for their eternal soul to come and meet me at the front. But Father, I pray you'd work in the invitation as only you can. And we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing our closing hymn. What number?
292.
292. Closing hymn. And as we sing this closing hymn, 292, maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight, today. Maybe you just need to come and say, Lord, thank you for calling me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Maybe you need to come this morning and get with the Lord and say, Lord, I need to let my light shine. I've busheled it a little bit. Maybe you need to come this morning and just get saved. Why don't you come? I'll meet you at the front. We'll have somebody sit with you, and in 5 minutes, you can know for sure if you're going to heaven or not. Now's the time. This is the place. Decisions need to be made, and tomorrow might be too late. As we sing, 292.